Father, it is in your presence that we are. All we want is your presence. All we want to hear is your word. Lord, I come to you again. I empty myself of anything I've done in my own physical strength and ask you to envelop me. I ask you to fill me. You know the thoughts, you know the hearts of men, even my own heart. So, Lord, I ask, create in every one of us right now through the power of the spoken word that what you say, I hear. What I hear, I speak. And, Lord, your spirit will confirm every word with signs following. I decree in the name of Jesus there will be healing. There will be deliverance. Every oppression of the enemy over our lives, every plan, every subtleness, this deceitfulness, the wiles of the enemy, that, Lord, some of us unconsciously are falling into the trap. By reason of this word, there will be healing, wholeness, deliverance, in the name of Jesus. Lord, our hearts are ready. Holy Spirit, breathe upon every heart right now. Turn every heart into a good ground. And those watching online and those who will watch this broadcast, heal every one of us. And let us bear fruit, good fruit, to the glory of your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me tell us something. Good sermons, good messages, they are good. We receive the word, we hear the word, we sit down, we fellowship, we hear. Oh, wow, that's a good message. That's awesome. I learned something today. But listen, I'm beginning to understand something that we are constantly, whether we like it or not, engaged in warfare, in spiritual warfare. The things you and I see, it's clear, even from the book of Hebrews, that they are created by things that are not seen. The things we see in this world, first of all, existed in the unseen. The building, the houses you live in, first of all, existed in the unseen. Somebody received it in their minds, downloaded it on a paper, gave it to a construction engineer, construction people, and they built it, and they brought it to pass. That is what happens in the world we live in. There are forces, unseen forces, that control the physical, whether you believe it or not. I've just given you a very simple analogy of the houses you live in. They didn't exist before. They first of all existed in the unseen. Our lives daily, our going out, our coming in, our family life, the things we do, they are controlled by the things I'm telling you we may not see. Have you ever looked at yourself at times and you thought about something, and then what you thought about happened? Or you were going somewhere and a thought came, don't go in that direction. And you went. And then you remember something told me not to go. Or you were about to get into a relationship and you remember something told you don't go into that relationship. You went and you got your fingers burnt. The sin is controlled by the unseen. And today, by the grace of God, you're not just going to hear a message. We are going to engage with the power that God has given us, the power of prayer. Because when we pray, we are engaging with God that we cannot see. The Bible says God is three things: invisible, you can't see him with the naked eyes; is immortal, he cannot die; and the third thing is the only wise God. And God, in his infinite wisdom that looks like foolishness to mankind, has used the foolishness of preaching this gospel you're hearing, preaching the word through the foolishness of the gospel of preaching, to deliver us, to help us channel our lives according to his will. Jesus, one day, was teaching it. His disciples came to him, and they said, teach us how to pray. And he began to teach them, when you pray, say, Our Father, where? Excuse me, Our Father, who art in heaven, in the unseen. That is engaging in the spiritual. We are going to pray today. You are not just going to hear a good message, a good sermon, and come back, you know, Pastor, I was blessed by that message. No, the devil is not afraid when you are blessed by a message. The devil is afraid when you do what God tells you to do. That is why when Jesus was given the parable of the sower, he said that immediately the word is sown, when he was explaining, the enemy said the devil comes and steal the word that was sown in the heart. Please lay your hand on your heart, even though the heart is not the physical one, but the belly, because Jesus said out of your belly will flow rivers of water. On your heart or on your belly, and say right now in the name of Jesus, the word that I hear will be planted in my heart. It will take root and I will bear fruit. I will do what God tells me to do. The devil will not steal this word. The devil will not steal this word from my heart, from my mind, until I bear fruit, and my fruit will remain. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. You're doing well. Well done. That is the first thing. Today, I bring us a word, and we're going to title it, yeah? The title is, A Heart of Love to Love. A Heart of Love to Love. Let me repeat the third time. A Heart of Love to, please repeat after me. Repeat again. You know, I'm always excited when I see a very young, fresh, married couple. Ask my wife. Anytime I see a fresh couple, I don't let my wife rest at home. Because it just ignites fire. I am telling you, please celebrate Lakey and Sylvana. Glory be to God. This is where you belong. The house of God. Amen. Amen. Good to see you, Sylvana. I actually saw you on around Prescott, East Prescott Road one day, and you were smiling. You were walking. You didn't see me. I was in the traffic. You were walking. Your husband wasn't there. I said, yeah, Leke must be doing something good. Please celebrate Leke, my boy. I hope. Don't mind me. You should be used to me by now. Let's interact. Let's be real. Let's talk about real issues. A heart of love to love. Now, you are going to make a spiritual list. All right? Maddie, listen to this. You are going to write, maybe in your heart. Some of you don't even need to write it. Your heart is loaded. Okay? Do you know what you're going to write? You're going to write a list of everyone. Okay? I'm telling you as I received it, you're going to make a list of everyone that has offended you. That doesn't sound spiritual, does it? All right? Some of us have it loaded. You know, it's downloaded in your heart already. So you don't need to write it. Some of us is there, but we're covering up. No, it's okay. I have forgiven them. Honestly, God knows I have forgiven them. I have forgiven. Yeah. But when you remember them, what happens to your heart that nobody sees? What happens to the unseen realm? Kingzo, good to see you and your family again. Glory be to God. Thank you very much, Neto. The other day was your birthday and we celebrate life. You know, please celebrate Neto. You know why. You will never know why. Some of us know. I know what your husband was like. Okay, he's looking better, he's so matured now. I'm not saying he wasn't matured before, don't get me wrong, but it's more, I've seen the calmness in your husband and the things he shares with me that he's learning from you. No, you're a good wife. I'm telling you that by the Spirit of God. Amen. 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 And you will remain a virtuous one. Amen. A crown to your husband. Amen. All right. Amen. Now, where was I? I thought you deleted what I said. Where was I? Where was I? Of who have? Please don't be scared. Make a list of. All right. Because you are going to pray for them at the end of this word. You will pray from the depth of your heart. And you will see why you will pray shortly. A heart of love to love. Matthew chapter 24. Jesus said something very profound from Matthew chapter 24, from verse 12 and 13. Holy Spirit, just help me to just say it as it is. No sugarcoating. No trying to soften the blow. Matthew 24, verse 12 to 13. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 12 to 13, I read from the New King James Version. And in the name of Jesus, I would not read with the glasses. Say amen.
Amen.
Okay. The Bible says in verse 12, and because the New King James Version says lawlessness shall abound, the love of many will grow cold. The King James Version says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many will wax cold. Wax cold. The word lawlessness there, thank you very much for looking after that wonderful prophet of God. Thank you. It says, that word lawlessness there, in another version, iniquity, in another version, wickedness. The world we live in now is surrounded by wickedness. Wickedness. I mean wickedness. Do you know what Jesus said about the days we live in? He said people will betray one another. He said brothers will betray one another. He said there will be problems with daughter-in-laws and their mother-in-laws. Have you read that before? Do you see why you and your mother-in-law don't get along? Because Jesus said it. I'm not saying Jesus, because Jesus said it now, you justify it. Yeah, Jesus has said it, so we can't get along. And we won't get along. You are playing with something that will kill you. You are playing with something that will make your life become unfruitful. If you do not get yourself out of this many Jesus is talking about here, that their love will grow cold as a result of wickedness. The things that people say, do to us, makes us to not want to love again. The things that people, that maybe you have sacrificed for, given yourself for, labored for, the things they do to us in return, the things they do in reward, can make you and I stop loving humanity. It can make you literally lose faith in human beings. The scary one that Jesus said is about close family. Brothers, betray brothers. Mother-in-law, daughter-in-law, father-in-law, son-in-law. That's family. Because I'm telling you, the closer people are to you, the deeper they can hurt you. And let me tell us something we may not realize. Some of us think we know Bible. Some of us think we have revelation of the Word of God. Let me submit to us, none of us know the Word of God like the devil knows the Word. Revelation? The devil is not scared of revelation. The devil is scared when you manifest the revelation, when you manifest as a child of God. That's what scares the enemy. Because the moment you begin to operate at that realm, as a son, a daughter of God, the enemy can't touch you. The enemy will try, but will fail. Because now you are exercising, you are operating under the authority of the Most High God. Do you know what the Bible says when we become Christians? And if you're watching or you're here, you've not surrendered your life to Jesus. You've not literally Ask God to forgive all your sins, all your wrongdoings, and ask the Lord to cleanse you, to cleanse you by the blood of Jesus and make you his child, his son, his daughter. If you've not done that, let me tell you, you are just living a life of like a prey in the hands of the enemy. The enemy will finish you. Some of us will realize that it's when we decided to surrender our lives, that's when attack of the enemy is as the fiercest. You know, when you are, I remember a young man some years ago said, when I was in the world, when I wasn't a believer, I was making a lot of money. But the moment I surrendered my life to God and I wanted to live a righteous life, I became poor because I wasn't making the money I was making before. You know, and the enemy will come and remind you of that. That what do you have to show now that you want to be a righteous man? Now that you want to live a righteous life as a woman? Now that as a young person you don't want to mess around again? All the people that used to whistle when you're passing, they don't whistle anymore. In fact, they hiss. Because you want to follow God. Let me tell you, this word is to encourage you. This word is to reignite, rekindle, and refire you up that you are on track. When you become a child of God, the Bible says we have been made to sit together in the heavenly places, far above principalities and powers, above every rule of darkness, above evil forces. But the challenge is we forget our placement. We forget the authority we have. And we begin to engage with flesh and blood. It is flesh and blood. It is people that will offend us. The Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. And do you really know what flesh and blood really is? Your flesh and your blood. When you say, this person is my flesh and blood, that's close family. Once you get into that dangerous pathway of strife, let me tell us what happens. Our love begins to grow cold. When our love grows cold, our faith does not work anymore. Because now we're walking in strife. We're walking in unforgiveness. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 18, when Jesus gave the analogy of the man who was forgiven much and he didn't forgive his own servants, he said, you'll be handed over to the tormentor's chamber. Tormentors. Some of us are living in torment. Do you know what is tormenting you? Just the moment that name that is on your list comes into your mind, you lose it. You are so angry, like somebody once said to me. My blood boils when I remember what they did to me. When I hear that person's name, my blood is always boiling. Excuse me, you can ask medical doctors what that means. Blood boiling can be likened to high blood pressure, hypertension. Please, Dr. Patrick, help me. What are all those blood, all manner of blood diseases? There's a recent one I heard. MM. I was asking Dr. Patrick, what's the meaning of MM? It's called multiple myeloma. Where don't let me go into that realm. It's not my realm. But something happens to your blood cells. It's not functioning the way it is. Some of these things are spiritual, but they manifest in the physical body, where you are simply a walking corpse. Your body is ravaged with sicknesses, with diseases, with all sorts of torment. Trace it. The root might be you are holding that person on that list. Listen, it has been scientifically proven. I don't know the percentage again, so I don't want to propagate what is not accurate, but that a high percentage, let me use that, high, when I say high, higher than 70% of the sicknesses that mankind, human beings go through in their body, is traced to the way they think. And where do we hold on forgiveness? In our thoughts. Where the person is far away, but they are the mention of their name. Everything in your life bows. It bows to sicknesses, bows to torment. Is that life? Excuse me, is this the quality of life you want to live? When God says that when you come to Christ, I give you life in abundance to enjoy. Life abundantly. Excuse me, it's not worth it. I want to enjoy life. Honestly, when I see, young Ara, The way he's always smiling. The only thing that can get Ara angry is if you don't let him bless you. That's the kind of life I want to live. That's the only time he was angry. I don't know, maybe when you don't give him his favorite food too. I don't know, but at least what I've seen, when Jesus said we learn from little children, except our faith is like a little child, he said we won't enter the kingdom. Because of lawlessness, because of iniquity, because of wicked things people have done to us, our love grows cold. When your love grows cold, your faith will not work anymore. You will pray all you want. I'm telling you. You will attend every service, healing, deliverance, name it, anointing, disanointing, disengaging service. Nothing will happen. Why? Because your love has grown cold because of wickedness or something somebody did to you that you didn't let go. And once the love goes, your faith goes. And once your faith goes, the Bible says without faith, it is what? Look at that word. Hebrews 11:6. Impossible to please God. Impossible. You know, I know there's this mantra going on out now and all that. You know, I have nothing against it and all that, but we have to be careful. Oh, what God cannot do does not exist. I'm telling you, when you don't have love, what God cannot do in your life will exist. We've got to balance the word of God. It is impossible, grandma, to please God without faith. And how does faith work? With love. Galatians 5:6. So love is not there. My faith does not work. It now becomes impossible for me to enjoy life, to receive everything God has for me, to richly, abundantly enjoy. People, it is not worth it. You see that list? We're going to tear that list. We're going to burn that list. We're going to pray for those people. And I will show you how we're going to pray. And you are going to see a turnaround in your life, turnaround in your home, turnaround in your business, just because you did what God wants you to do. And I bind that devil suggesting to you that if only this pastor knows what they have done to me, he won't be preaching like that. It's easy to stand on the pulpit and say this and say that. Listen, that's the devil suggesting to you, whoever you are, that heard just what I said, because I heard that in the spirit. I don't need to know what they did to you. Listen, but I know what the devil can do to you. If you don't let go, and they are usually flesh and blood, they are usually people close to us. Hear this, when we become part of the church, they are usually even church family. My wife and I can tell stories. We've been pastoring for years, and we have seen wickedness. Not in high places, but in church places. And if we make the mistake to say we are not going to love people anymore, we're not going to do what God called us to do, we are gone. Listen, it is not worth it. I want us to know something today. And I'm going to begin to close because we are going to pray. I don't have much to say. I was telling my wife this morning, I just want to listen to the Holy Spirit. Listen. The Bible tells us about the heart of man and describes it in the book of Jeremiah. Sorry, media team, I didn't send you that scripture. But somebody can help us. I know that we have Bible scholars in the room and those online. Where is it written that the heart of man is desperately wicked, deceitful above all things? And somebody might be saying, I thought you were a pastor, you should know where everything is in the Bible. Why don't you two know where it is? Jeremiah, I know it's in Jeremiah. I know it's in 17. But I can't forget, I've forgotten where. Jeremiah 17:9. Amen. All right, everybody, if you have a Bible, turn to Jeremiah 17:9. I want to show us something about that heart. And I want to show us about something we need to do about that heart. And I want to show us today that God is going to give you a heart of love. Okay? That can never fail anymore. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9. I wanted us to read it together. So if you have your Bible and those online, Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9. It says, whatever version you have, I just want you to read it. Okay? Are you ready? Ready, 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 ready. Okay. I want you to read it out loud. Just read it. Let's all chorus it. Whatever version you have. All right? Whatever version. Are you ready? One, two, go. The heart is deceitful above all things. Desperately wicked. Who can know it? Stop. The heart is deceitful above all. Some of us, our hearts are deceiving us. Oh, I have forgiven. No, I've forgiven. And you are living in that deception that you have forgiven. But you've not. Like people say, in your heart of hearts. You hear people say things like this too. I hope you will find a place in your heart to forgive. Excuse me. You don't need to find a place in your heart. You either have this kind of heart that is described here, or you have this heart that the psalmist in Psalm 51 verse 10 prayed for. It says, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. You only need to know why the psalmist, who was David, prayed that prayer. Do you know what he did? The Bible said he saw a woman, another man's wife. He told them, call the woman. He committed adultery with the woman. The woman got pregnant, and he tried to cover up. And because he couldn't cover up, you know, how did he try to cover up? Go bring the husband from the war front and let him go into his house. You know, give the man amnesty from war. Just go and enjoy your family. The guy refused. No, I can't. When my people are fighting, I can't now go and stay with my wife. That would be wrong. He tried everything. They got him drunk. Nothing happened. He now said, I send him back to the war front and make sure that when you put him in the hottest place of the battle and withdraw, the soldiers who will give him, I don't know what they call it in military, they call it cover or something. I forgot it. What? A cover. So just withdraw everybody so that they can kill him, so that he can cover up his adultery. He covered it up smoothly. He was the king. Until God revealed it. And even when they came to him and told him in parable that somebody did wickedness to another person, what should we do as a king? What would you do? He said, kill that person. Kill what? Do you know how judgmental our hearts can be? You know, one of the things my wife and I are learning, we can't stand on these people and be preaching at you. Right? And we are battling with the same problem. If I'm telling you to forgive, and I'm not forgiven, I am the worst hypocrite. And you know what? My judgment will be double. Do you know that's what the Bible says in Ezekiel? Those of us who teach, our judgment will be double. Because you are telling people to do what you are not doing, you are a hypocrite. And when people now catch you doing what you are telling them not to do, you actually make them a twice the candidate of hell. Because they will say, that's it. All preachers are like this. In the times we live in, Kingsley, have you seen how much pastors have been bashed? Some of us pastors now are even almost ashamed. When I go anywhere and I tell people my name is Fola. Oh, you're a pastor. No. Pastor is not my name. My name is Fola. Pastor is office, not title. It's not even title. Listen. When he was caught, he now realized one thing. I can't cover up again. I can ask God to clean that heart. But this heart, God can clean a wicked heart. But what is wicked will remain wicked. Luke chapter 6 verse 45. It says, a good man out of the treasures of this heart will bring forth good things. A wicked man, an evil man, out of the treasures of his heart will bring forth wicked things. He now says, for out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. Listen, if the heart is wicked, clean it all you want. Whitewash it all you want. Photoshop it all you want. Download anything inside it all you want. It will still be wicked. It can never produce anything good. David recognized that. It will take a wicked heart to do what he did. I don't want this heart anymore. Let me tell you, it is a wicked heart that will never forgive. Look at Matthew chapter 18. Jesus said, if you don't forgive those who trespass against, neither will my heavenly Father. He called that servant wicked. Go and read that scripture. Matthew 18. He said, you are a wicked servant. I forgave you, and you can't forgive. You are wicked. That's the wickedness that we're talking about. At times when we say, when lawlessness, when wickedness, when iniquity abounds, love of many will wax cold. We often look at the people who are wicked to us. We don't realize we are the ones who are wicked. Because we have a deceitful heart that is telling us we are okay. Every other person is wrong. But I am okay. When last did you say sorry? When last did you say thank you? You can't say sorry because your heart is wicked. You can't say thank you because your heart is also wicked. See, people nowadays with a sense of entitlement. No. What's the big deal? What you did to me? Are you the first person who will do it? That's a wicked heart speaking. If you don't realize in a subtle way, desperately wicked, deceitful above all things. A heart that holds records of wrongs, that has list of people that you are not letting go of, I submit to you, is a wicked heart. I pray that will sink. I pray this word, the enemy will not steal it out of you. I pray the deceitfulness of your heart too will not tell you, no, I'm okay. Because in the parable of the sower, if the enemy can't steal the word, the next thing we'll see when Jesus was explaining that parable is that persecution or trials will come as a result of the word you've heard. Some of us are clean right now. I'm telling you, you don't hold anybody in unforgiveness. But I prophesy to you according to the word of the Lord that when you leave this place or during this week, somebody's going to try you. I might be that person that sleeps next to you on the bed. Flesh and blood. Some of us have not spoken to our family members, brothers, sisters, for years. And you're a Christian. You can just say, how are you? How are you doing? Hurt? Not spoken to them. The reason why you've not spoken to them, because they're on that list. The hit list. No. I'll just, let my wife will decode this. Also, we can be deceived, Bura, to say, no, we will only create boundaries. But search your heart. Because even that boundary could be as a result of unforgiveness. Yeah, they are healthy boundaries. Healthy. Healthy. I'm telling you, I saw something in the Bible. If you are tormented with demons, we pray with you and cast the devil out. You come back with the same demon, we pray with you, we cast the devil out. You are tormented with the same demon, you come again, we pray with you, we cast the devil out. But if we realize that you don't want to let go of the devil, you are happy with the devil, you are just happy, then the Bible says we should cast both you and the devil out. Such people, the Bible says, avoid them. So let's balance things. Not out of bitterness. Not out of being vindictive. No. The Spirit of God has helped us identify such. No, don't bring your demons to me. Felicia, do you know what words are? They are spirit. If I open up myself to you and you keep telling me your demons, you are depositing your demons in me, unconsciously. When we were much younger, my wife and I, you know, because we started pastoring, immediately we got married. Started pastoring. So we are pastoring those who were married before us and those who married after us. And, you know, everybody looked up to us as experts. Meanwhile, Kingsley, we too were learning. We just tried not to be hypocrite as much as possible. And let me tell you, at times in those days, we'll find out that we have just finished grandma settling a quarrel between a couple as pastors. And grandma, when they leave, my wife and I start fighting. Why are you looking at me like that? Why did you say that? I don't like what you said. Why did you? Third party demons. They've just come and dropped. You help them cast the demon. And guess where you cast it? I will never forget this. I'm telling us because we're going to pray now. These things are real. I remembered somebody came, we prayed with them, said a certain problem, because I don't want to expose my sons. A certain problem was existing among their children. We held a vigil in our house, we prayed all night and all that. We prayed! Thank God, they came back and shared testimony. Our children don't have that problem again. Leke, the following week, our own children started having that problem. Please rise to your feet. I'm not talking anymore. You are going to do the talking. You are going to do the talking. We're going to engage in a spiritual warfare. We are going to pray. Please, right now, I want you right now, like David, listen. The Bible tells us, okay, if the media team can display this, Romans chapter 5, verse 5. A heart of love to love is the title of this word. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit, when he comes to us, he pours the love of God into our hearts. It takes the love of God for you to forgive a human being. Forget it. Try it in your own human strength. You may try for a while. It's only a circle. It will come back. And usually the wickedness will be 7 times, according to the scriptures. So we don't need that heart that has that list of offenses anymore. That's where we're going. The love of God is poured in our hearts by the Holy Spirit that is given to us. Now, the solution that God has given is not that we will ask him to help us to forgive. If you are struggling to forgive, it's because the heart you have currently does not have the capacity to forgive. So do you know what you need? The Bible tells us in the book of Ezekiel, verse 36, a new heart I will give to you and pour a new spirit. The spirit we're talking about now is the Holy Spirit, the spirit of love, that will now give you the power to forgive. When we look at Mark chapter 12, I believe, someone asked Jesus, what's the first and most important commandment? It says, you will love the Lord your God with all your heart. Please, don't ask God to pour his spirit into a wicked heart. God does not put new wine in an old wineskin. The wineskin in this context is that heart. Please, right now, lift up your voices everywhere. Lord, I need a new heart.